Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. When it sings of glory, I sing the new song. It may be old, old story that I have loved so long. I'd love to tell the story. Hear the story too. All righty. Well, we're going to be back in Romans 7 this morning, and we're going to get back to, we're going to start in verse 14 today. But remember, the whole book of Romans is really about the righteousness that comes from God through faith. The only way we're going to be righteous is if God gives us His righteousness, right? On our own, none of us is righteous. The Bible says there's none good. There's none that does right. There's none of us righteous. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way we're going to be holy is if God gives us His holiness, right? Nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. But Jesus, as the old song says, did what? Paid it all, right? He didn't leave anything for us to do but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, is what the Bible says. Whoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord, that He's God, and He has been raised from the grave, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you make confession unto salvation. We've been looking at this. The first three chapters really, or at least two and a half chapters, deal with all of us are condemned. There's none righteous, no, not one. When we get to chapters 3 through 5, he begins to talk about the fact that we can be justified. And then chapters 6 through 8 talks about sanctification. What is sanctification? It's being made more and more like Jesus Christ, right? Every day, if we're believers, we're supposed to be putting more of that sin away and becoming more like Jesus Christ every day. How do we do that? We don't do that on our own either, do we? We have to want to, but then Jesus, God, gives us the ability. He gives us His power to overcome sin and suffering and temptation. And so we've been talking about all that. And really, in the first part of chapter 7, he talks to the legalist, the guy that talks about the law and thinks he's going to make it by the law. And Paul says, no, the law's good, but we're no longer under law, but we're under grace. We don't have to keep the law, but we get to keep the law because we want to. We want to please God, so we love Him. And then he talks about the libertine, the person that says, well, we can just do anything we want to. And then when we get to this last section, he's talking about himself, and it gets real personal. And he talks, I guess, about 36 times. He says, me, my, I, myself. And he talks about his personal experience. So as we've looked at this section, what Paul's doing is really dealing with the law and trying to tell us that there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem with the law is the fact that we can't keep it. That's why we need Jesus Christ to forgive us and save us. Because on our own, we can never please God. The law is designed to expose sin. And it's like we keep talking, I know y'all hear on the TV all the time, let's get rid of the guns, let's get rid of the guns. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. And if you take the guns away, they're going to use knives and what slingshots or whatever they can find. But they keep saying, get rid of the guns, get rid of the guns. Like I said, it's sort of like, you know, when somebody got a shot somebody, confusing the fact that you walk up there, just take the gun away from the person and say, bad gun. And then pat the other person on the back and say, you can go now. That's the mindset of the people that say guns kill people, right? And that's what the people are talking about here about the law, that they say the law is bad, you know. And people are good, I guess, but it's the other way around. The law is good and people are bad. And that's why we need a Savior. And so when we get to this section, this is kind of a difficult section. But why don't we read, I'll read a couple of verses, but after I talk a little bit more about it. But think about what's going on here. There's kind of a couple of dilemmas, and it's kind of, some people say, was Paul talking about himself before he saved, or is he talking after he saved? And I really believe that because he talks about the fact, me, myself, I, and over and over again, that he's really talking about himself after being a Christian. And as we talk about it, we'll talk more about that. But the problem is if we look at this whole book and look at the context, we see that none of us can keep the law on our own. And the law is good and holy, but on our own, we need a Savior. What does Paul begin to do here in verse 14 of Romans chapter 7? He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I tell you, Paul can write some circular stuff, can't he? He just, like, you know, as hard as you read to understand that. But here's the dilemma. People say, well, is Paul really a Christian here, or is he not a Christian? And like I said, I believe he's a Christian, because what is he doing here? What is he really doing? He's really laying out three kind of laments, he's just wailing about his condition, because any of us that truly know Jesus Christ, we know that as human beings, we want to do what's right, but how many times do we fail? The unsaved person, the reason I don't believe this is an unsaved person, is because most of the time, unsaved people don't really care what they do. They just do whatever they want to do. They don't care what the Bible says, that's for sure. They don't care what God tells them to do. But what they care about is what they want to do, and they're not worried about what this word says. But when you become a true believer, within your heart, there's a change. And I tell people, some people say, well, how do I know that I'm really saved? And I say, well, you know what? The Bible says, if any man, woman, boy, or girl is in Christ, we're a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, Ezekiel and Jeremiah talk about putting a new heart in us, right? He says, I'll take out your heart of stone and I'll put in a heart of flesh. He says, I'm going to make you a new person. And what happens the moment we trust Jesus Christ, we become a new person. The problem is we still live in this old body. We have a new want to, a new desire, a new ability to live for Christ. But even as a Christian with God's power, the problem is we don't always do what's right, because so many times it's just we just don't want to. Even though we have a new desire and a new want to, we are still in this body that remembers the things that it used to do, and we get mad, we get angry, we just get short-tempered sometimes. Sometimes we fall back into old bad habits, things that we used to do and used to say. And that's the thing about being a Christian. The older you get, the longer you've been a Christian, what happens, one man said it like this, that some of the young folks says, well, the longer I'm a Christian, will I sin less and less? And he's I think it was John MacArthur, and he says, yeah, you'll sin less and less, but you'll hate it more and more. Because what happens is you get rid of the outward stuff so many times, but what happens, you still got mindsets and attitudes and things like that that you have to deal with and struggle with. And what happens is you beat yourself up because you know you shouldn't have got short with this person. You shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have thought that, and it not so much as the outward sins as much, but a lot of times it just comes down to what's up here, thoughts and attitudes a lot of times. When you look at Philippians chapter 3, I want to read that for you. And Paul, if you know your Bible and you know Paul was the greatest Christian I believe has ever lived, and then he talks about he's glad he's saved and all this. And then when he gets to verse 12 of chapter 3, he says, maybe we'll talk about this in a few weeks or something, but he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on and I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul says is he's been a Christian 30 years. He said, I hadn't arrived. I hadn't made it. I hadn't been made perfect. He said, but I'm doing everything I can to be what I'm supposed to be. And you know what? The good news is one day when we pass out of this world and die, that we are going to be perfectly and fully a Christian. That's why these bodies have to die, because these sinful desires that are inside this flesh are still here. But when we die, God allows our body to stay in the ground. And one day, he says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he will raise this corruptible body and incorruptible body. And one day he gives us a holy body just like we got a holy soul. See, once you become a Christian, the real you is the new you, the holy person. Because in the eyes of God, I tried to explain this the other night to somebody, in the eyes of God, we are perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, and that's who I am now. I'm a saint. I'm Saint Marty, and you're Saint whatever your name is, but here's the bottom line. Positionally, in the eyes of God, I'm perfect, but practically, we got a long way to go. Practically, we still get mad, we get angry, we get short-tempered, we get tired and grumpy, and we say things and do things, and we mess up, don't we? Now, that's the practical side of it. And it's hard to understand sometimes that as long as we're in a body, here's one of the other things I tell people, when you're truly a Christian, at that point there becomes a battle between doing right and doing wrong. And if there's a battle going on, at that point you know you're truly a Christian, because the person that's not a Christian, they don't have that battle. They just go do whatever they want to do that's wrong, and they don't really care. They don't like the consequences and the problems that result from that. But as far as the way they live, they don't care. They run over people, they do whatever they want to, and they just like, okay, it's okay. They don't like the results when they have to pay for the results of what they did, right? That's how you tell a true Christian there's a battle going on within inside of us, because that's what Paul is saying here. And he gives us three really laments here. The first one, he gives us a lament And then he gives us a proof of what he says, and then he shows us the source of it. And so really, what does he say in verse 14? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Remember back under chapter 6, he said he was a slave to sin. Whoever commits sin was a slave to sin, but we don't have to live that way anymore, right? Now we become slaves and servants of righteousness because we got a new master. We don't have to serve him, but we want to serve God, right? Like I said before, you serve somebody, you love somebody, and you do stuff for them because what? Because you love them, right? And before I knew God, I really didn't love him, and I didn't want to serve him. And people say, well, Marty, why don't you do this and do that? Why don't you do what's right? And I just tell them to go jump in the river, right? Of course, that was putting it nicely. But that's what we do before we're saved, right? So Paul says, I'm sold under sin. In other words, he says, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. In other words, there's times I just go back and do things that I shouldn't do, right? I sell myself back into that slavery. I put myself back into bondage to sin. And he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. That's the proof of it. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Paul says, you know, I don't want to do this, but I do it. And it makes me mad. And I'm like, why did I do this? What goes on in here? Well, it says, well, hey, I'm a true Christian. You know, I hate what I'm doing because I really want to please God, but what I end up doing. Golly, why did I do that again? I lost my temper with her a 100 times. We were laughing. We were with some people the other night, and I forget, the guy said something about his wife or something, and of course, I'm sure he has his problems too, but he's saying something about the forgiven 7 times. Peter says, how about forgive me 7 times? And Jesus says 7 times 70. And Peter took it literal, but what Jesus meant was keep on forgiving people until you just keep forgiving them forever, right? As long as they come back and ask for forgiveness. And he says, he's talking about his wife, and he says, you're way past the 7 times 70. And of course, he was too, and all the rest of us are too, right? And then he gives us the source of it right here, and he says, verse 17, he says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, right? I mean, y'all have heard me saying here, there's nothing good about Marty except for Jesus Christ. And there's nothing good about any of us except for Jesus Christ if we know him as our Lord and Savior. And so he proves it by saying, hey, the things I want to do, I don't do. That what I hate, I do. And then he says, but if I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good. The law is good. The law is holy. The law is perfect. But you know what? All it does is point out that I can't keep the standard. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. And then look what he says in verse 18. He gives us another one of these laments. And he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, right? There's nothing good in my flesh. He says, this old body, it has these desires. It wants to do what it wants to do. And he says, for to will is present within me, but how to perform what is good, I do not know. I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. So what is Paul saying? He says, you know, I'm trying, but I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Like I said, this is really, if Paul was a Christian for 30 years and this was the problems he was having, and he's the greatest Christian that ever lived, where does that leave the rest of us? In the same boat, right? And like I said, this is really the dilemma of every Christian. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. You know, and that's the Christian dilemma. Like I said, there's a battle going on. The moment you trust Christ, like I said, the non-Christian doesn't have that battle. The non-Christian just does what he wants to do and doesn't worry about that. And then he gives us the proof of it, like I said, was what he wanted to do. He did not find. But then the source of it, he says, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And he says it again. He says it's no longer I, but it's sin. And you know what Paul's not doing? Paul's not doing like, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden, and Adam said, well, the woman, God, you gave me. He blamed God and the woman. The woman you gave me, that's why I ate of the fruit of the tree and sinned, right? And the woman said to the serpent, it was the serpent that did it to God. He said, the serpent did it, right? Of course, the poor old serpent, he didn't have a leg to stand on, right? Old corny joke, you know. But anyway, the bottom line is, he wasn't a poor old serpent, he was the devil. But here's the bottom line. What do? We've always blaming somebody else for what we do, right? Well, if you hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have jumped back on you, right, or whatever. But here's the bottom line. Paul's not blaming somebody else for his sin. He says, no longer I, but sin that dwells in me. What he's saying is, it's this old body that I still live in. Y'all remember that verse in Galatians, verse 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is he saying? He's saying the good things that I do, the life I live of holiness, the life I live for God, the only way I can live it is because, guess what? God lives inside of me, right? Jesus lives inside of me. And the life I now live, I live because Christ dwells inside of me. And then he goes on and he gives us one more of these laments in verse 20. And he says, I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. He says, I'm evil. I got evil within me. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. And in my flesh, there's nothing good dwells in me. If you're a Christian, I know that I say that all the time. I told a girl the other day, I said, you know, I'm like Paul. I'm just like, sometimes I go, wow, I'm not even I'm a miserable excuse for a human being, much less a Christian. And that's the battle that goes on inside, and we beat ourselves up about it. We need to beat ourselves up in the sense that we need to try to do better through the power of Christ. But we don't need to beat ourselves up and give up like so many people do. That's the problem with a lot of people, is what they do is they find this situation and they keep doing things that they don't want to do. You know what they eventually do? They just kind of give up and just say, well, I'm going to just go do it because you know what? God's not going to forgive me anymore. But here's the bottom line. People forget that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die just for some of our sins, but he died for all of our sins, right? Jesus paid it all. And he didn't die for some of our sins, he died for all of our sins. And you know what? All of us to begin with weren't even alive when he died on the cross, for all our sins were future. But he knew every single thing that we would ever do wrong in our life. As old song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And he knew every single thing that we would ever do, and he suffered and he paid for those on that cross. Every sin that we've ever committed, ever will commit, anybody's ever lived, ever will live, is committed. He was on that 3 hours in the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was paying for our sins. Every single sin of every single person who ever has lived, will live, and has lived. And when he got through, he said, it's finished. Your sin debt has been paid in full. That's why we can't do anything to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. And that's why we don't have to beat ourselves up. We can say, well, you know, yes, I want to do better. I hadn't arrived, I hadn't made it, but I want to beat my body into subjection and I want to do better. God, help me to get rid of this sin, and you know, I don't want to do it anymore, so God, you help me. Because his power is available. But you know what? Just don't lay down and give up, right? If we're true Christians, the Bible says that the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up because God's with him. But he says the wicked falls and there's no one there to pick him up. But you know who's there to pick us up? God is there to pick us up if we're true Christians. This last lament he says that evil is present within me. And then he says, here's the proof. The one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight in the law and the inward man. A non-Christian does not delight in reading the Bible. A non-Christian does not pick up the Bible. They do not read the Bible. They do not delight in the law. They avoid the law. They hide from the law. They do everything they can to avoid getting caught by the law, right? Here's what I think John MacArthur said. He said 175 verses in Psalm 119, the psalmist says over and over and over again, I love the law, I love the law, I meditate on the law, I rejoice in the law, over and over and over again. And at the end of the Psalm 119, and he says, oh, miserable man that I am, you know, because he realizes that on his own, he can't conquer sin, that he's still living in the human body and he's still living in the flesh. Then he gives this source again, the source of it. He says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. So the body is warring against his mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he just cries out this really heavy cry, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But you know what? That's the bad news. I'm a wretched man. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, this whole body is killing me. This flesh is making me do things that I don't want to do. And it's keeping me from doing the things I want to do. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And if you notice what he says here, he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And what he's kind of doing is he's giving us a sneak peek into next chapter, because when we get to chapter 8, we're going to talk about the good news of victory in Jesus. And he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does he say? That there's deliverance, there's victory through Jesus Christ, right? Galatians, we'll talk about more about that later. Galatians 5, I think it's verse 16, says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we'll talk more about that. Walking in the Spirit is just being prayed up, confessed up, and as best as you know how, doing the will of God for your life. And as you submit yourself to the Word of God and the will of God, God tells you what to do and he tells me what to do. We submit, and moment by moment by moment, we do what he tells us to do. And as we do that, that's walking in the Spirit. And then we sin. We have to go to 1 John 1:9, confess our sins, for he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we're back walking in the Spirit. Because I've talked about that before. When we sin, we break the relationship with God. He is still our Father, right? Like I said before, you know, if my daddy's dead now, but when daddy was alive, if I did something made him mad, no matter what I did, how bad it was, he was still my dad, right? Well, it's the same thing with God the Father. He's still our Father. He still loves us. He still died for us. But the problem is at that moment, I did something wrong and I need to go ask forgiveness so we can get the relationship restored. That makes sense to y'all? And so Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, there's going to be victory, right? He says, so with the mind, but then he tells us one more time, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, the battle's still there. No matter what happens, I'm still going to have that problem. And so that's the battle of every Christian. Some lessons from that today. One of the things that we want to ask is, have we ever felt the weight of sin like Paul did? Like I said, unbelievers don't feel bad about their sin. You know, they get mad about the consequences. They don't like the results. And have we ever felt that deep, deep longing to please God and keep the law? And do what he wants us to do, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him, right? And then lastly, Has God ever broken us so much that we said, oh, wretched man that I am, or wretched woman am I, and turn to God and say, God, forgive me. God, save me. I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. But you paid it all, and I want to go to heaven because of what you did. Have we ever done that? Because that's the only way we're going to make it to heaven, folks. I don't care what other people tell you, but this Bible flat out says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, there's nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it, but Jesus paid it all. It is the gift of God. It is a free gift, what Paul calls it. What is it's like he's saying it's a free, is what he says in Romans 6 and 3, chapter 3. He says it's a free. It's a gift. And like I said before, if I came in here and I said, here, let me give you this present, and then you started reaching in your wallet or your purse and you said, here, let me give you some money for that, what would happen? I would be insulted, right? Because it's a gift. And that's what God says about when we try to do something to earn salvation. He says, look, you can have it free, or you can't have it at all. Because if there was something we could do to get to heaven, there was no sense in Jesus even coming to earth. He could have just stayed in heaven, because we could have got baptized, we could have took communion, we could have did good works, joined the church, we could have tried to keep the Ten Commandments, and all the things we say is going to get us into heaven. But that doesn't do it. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That means, what does it mean to believe? Believe Jesus is God. He died in our place. He died for our sins, and there's nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it. But ask him to forgive us and save us. Say, God, I'm a sinner. Save me. If you've never done that, do that today, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart, and just remember that God loves all of us. And if I've made anybody mad about their particular religious beliefs, I'm sorry, but you know, here's the bottom line: is I'm not preaching what Marty says. I'm preaching what this says. I had a friend used to tell me, he says, you know, I'm glad you're not pushing all this stuff on me anymore. It's your way or the highway. I said, look, Bub, it's not my way or the highway. I said, it's God's way or the highway. Listen, the God who created me and you and everybody else and everything else, he wrote down in a book the things he wanted us to know. This is his love letter to us, and how to get to heaven and how to trust him. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say do this, do that, and the other. He said believe. That's why we got a chapter in Hebrews that the whole chapter is about faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. What is faith? Taking God at his word, believing and trusting in him, right? So God, I believe that you sent your son. I want to trust in him. Forgive me. Save me. I can't do anything to get there on my own. But you paid it all. Let's pray. Father, we just love you and thank you. And we just lift up every person here, Lord. We pray there's even one here today that doesn't know you, that they would cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. And then by faith, they would just take you at your word, because you said it. And we need to believe it, that Jesus paid it all. And there's nothing left for us to do but to cry out and confess that we're sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman that I am. Father, save some today if there's one here that doesn't know you. For the rest of us, Lord, help us to remember that we're in a daily battle. And if we'll seek, we'll keep our eyes fixed on you and seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, all the other things will be added unto us. Father, help us to please you and keep fighting the battle and keep running the race, and beating our bodies into subjection, taking up our cross daily and denying ourselves and following you, because that's what you asked us to do. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we sing Victory in Jesus? Why don't we sing 77, Jesus Paid It All today? I believe for thee.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.